pleasure to introduce the minister. Please join me. 请大家通过药材欢迎 Canada's Minister of Finance, the Honorable Bill Morneau.
Sorry, Jeff, they took away the stool that you were standing on.
That's a great way to start.
So it's a real pleasure to be here today. I'm not going to start with the traditional greeting in Chinese because that would go very wrong. But I will say that as I travel around, there are some venues that are easier and some venues that are more challenging. And I'll tell you that today, I was a little bit worried to come here to speak. And the reason for that is I knew that Jeff Nanko, our Consul General, was going to be introducing me to you today. So Jeff and I were together at graduate school at London School of Economics about 30 years ago. So I assumed that he has some stories that he could tell about things that I did at London School of Economics that I don't want the broader public to know. Certainly not the television camera in the back of the room. So Jeff, I appreciate the sanitized version of my history that you gave to all the good people here today. It's great to be here. It's great to see some people who I know, like the former Premier Jean Charest from Quebec, and Claude Acoum, who I've known for years from the Canadian business community, and to have the opportunity to meet many of you who are here and obviously engaged in business, but also have an association, either a small or a large association in Canada, through the Chamber. I hadn't fully understood the size of the Canadian impact in Hong Kong until I started preparing for this trip, and hadn't understood that the number of Canadians holding passports in Hong Kong, passports to Canada, was 300,000, making it the largest single group of Canadians in a city outside of Canada, and importantly also the largest group of foreign nationals holding a passport here in Hong Kong. It's obvious that the Canadian-Hong Kong relationship goes back for a long time, and is on many levels, but that level is particularly important, as well as the significant number of people that are alumni of Canadian universities that live here in Hong Kong. I had the opportunity earlier today to meet with James Lau, who senior in the Hong Kong government, who had done both his undergraduate and his master's degree at the University of Waterloo in Canada. So it's a whole lot easier when you have those ties in order to have the positive government-to-government relations, as well as the people-to-people relations that we see. I'm here, though, today to talk a little bit about the current situation in Canada economically, our budget of 2018, and why we believe that it continues to be a tremendous place for people to invest for the long term as they think about the global investment opportunity. First and foremost, though, as Jeff mentioned, I'm here because I'm out talking about our budget and doing what finance ministers have done in Canada for decades, explaining to Canadians and to people abroad how well we're doing in Canada, talking about the opportunities that present themselves in Canada. But this is the first time that we're going to Hong Kong, and then I'm off to Shanghai after being here. And the reason should be pretty obvious to all the people in this room. We historically went across Canada to talk about the budget. We then went to New York and to London, places where Canada has long-term historical ties. But we had thought, of course, of the growing importance of the Canada-China, the Canada-Hong Kong relationship, and also the size of that opportunity in the future. So this year, we're starting for the first time, but something that I expect will be an annual event, which is that we're going to bring the Canadian economic situation to business community in Hong Kong and to people in Shanghai to make sure that we develop that relationship more broadly. It's a recognition of what is obvious to all of you in the room. We may have an enormous trading relationship with the United States, that's our next door neighbor, but our second trading relationship in the world is with China. Of course, Hong Kong plays a very significant role in both our relationship with China and our direct relationship, China, rather Hong Kong, Canada. So it's a recognition of that current situation and what we aspire to have, which is a larger and more important relationship between Canada and Asia over the long term. I would like, though, to start to tell you what I think everyone in this room, because you're a member of the chamber, already knows. Canada is a great place to invest. There's the core reasons why Canada is such a great place to invest that you know about. We obviously have great natural resources. We have an education system that's worked to develop a highly educated population. We've successfully been able to, over a long period of time, have a very strong balance sheet in our country, with the lowest net debt to GDP among G7 countries. We have bountiful resources, so we're able to trade on those resources with people around the world. So the fundamentals of our country are extremely strong. Together with strong rule of law and stable political system, it's easy to understand why we've developed such strong trading relationships around the world, and in particular in this part of the world. But what I can say is that when we came into office a couple of years ago, recognized there were some important things we needed to think about in order to maintain that strong foundation to make us stronger in the future. We realized that there was a sense of anxiety in the world. We were seeing people in industrialized countries starting to think about the challenges that automation was presenting, and the reality that jobs were not going to be as secure over the long term as they might have been over the generation behind. We were seeing that sense of anxiety that was leading to some people in some countries saying that the current economic system might not be working for them. Question trading relationships, question the way things have been done. So what we said as a government was that we needed to face up to those things head on. What we said was, let's deal with the anxiety that people are facing. So we started out by reducing taxes for middle-class Canadians so they could see some confidence that the economy was working for them. We started out by means testing our child benefits so that for 9 out of 10 Canadian families, they got significantly more money for their family while they're raising their children, giving them more economic confidence during a time of anxiety. And we recognized that making these sort of efforts right off the bat would lead, we thought, to more confidence in a better economic situation. So we're now 2.5 years in as a government, and our prescription, what we thought we should do, has turned out. We're now in a situation where, over the last year and a half in Canada, we've grown at the fastest rate among G7 countries. We've created a significant number of jobs, so that when we came into office back 2.5 years ago, we had about a 7.1% unemployment rate in Canada. Today, we have about a 5.8% unemployment rate in Canada. We're at about the lowest level of unemployment we've seen in about 40 years. So we're in a significantly better economic situation. And we've continued to build on those strengths that I started by talking about. We've built on that very strong net debt to GDP by reducing our net debt to GDP. We've put out a financial forecast this year that shows that over a 5-year period, our net debt to GDP will decline in each and every year, down to a rate of about 28%. Making us far and away the best among G7 countries, less than half of the average net debt to GDP of other G7 countries. We've also put ourselves in a situation where we're more resilient to face up to long-term challenges. Many in the room will know that we're obviously facing some short-term issues. We're dealing with the reality that we're renegotiating NAFTA, which is causing some uncertainty. We're dealing with the reality that tax changes in the United States have led to a different economic set of considerations for businesses in Canada. But we know that being in a better economic position, we're more resilient to deal with those short-term challenges. And importantly, it puts us in a position where we can think about the long term. The long term in Canada, based on that strong foundation, is positive. But we do need to recognize some issues. First and foremost among those, is demographic challenge. We last year in Canada hit the first year where we had more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 15. And in dealing with that challenge, we recognize that we need to make sure that every Canadian has the potential for meeting up to his or her opportunity set. So in this year's budget, we said we need to focus on how we can assure that women, in particular, are getting all opportunities that they should be getting. Over the last 40 years, about a third of Canadian GDP growth has been as a result of women entering into the workforce. So we said we need to think about whether we can go further with that success story. Our goal is to move that 61% workforce participation among women closer to the 70% of workforce participation among men. We know that economically, it can have a big impact. McKinsey did a study last year to show that if we had more success with women entering the workforce, more success with women in technology, we could gain about $150 billion annually to our GDP by 2026. And for those of you doing the math, $150 billion on a base of a $2.2 trillion economy is very significant. So we realized that, as Malala put it, we cannot all succeed if half of us are held back. So in our budget this year, we had a number of things that we put in there to not only ensure that young women had more opportunities, but women entrepreneurs, for example, could have better access to capital, that women and men were more likely to share the burden of parenting more equally so they both could be in the workforce. Part of our long-term plan of how we can deal with fundamental challenges demographically, but also do the right thing. This year, we also focused significantly on investment in science and researchers, recognizing that investment in science is about the long-term health and success of our country. So we made the largest, most historic investments in increased research and science funding in the history of Canada, knowing that by enabling young people to go into science, to get grants, to have the facilities they need to do their research, we'll build a foundation for tomorrow, for the successful tomorrow that we want to see in Canada. So all of these efforts really are about dealing with that anxiety, about ensuring that tomorrow will be brighter than it is today. And it allows us to continue with our very successful approach to trading around the world. We know that Canada, as a small and open economy, has had a huge amount of success through the building of trade relationships with places like Hong Kong, trade relationships with places like China. So we will continue on that focus. We were successful in signing a deal with the Canada-Europe trade agreement. We, as you know, signed on to the CPTPP to ensure that we have access to dealing with trade with our Asia Pacific partners. And we're seeking to expand what's already a very successful relationship with China. One of the things in this year's budget was additional funding over the next 5 years so we could expand our footprint in China, making sure that we thought about how we could increase our relationships and have more success, more mutual success, not only in direct areas where we're already successful, like the financial sector, where many people are here today, but in areas like tourism and education and other areas where we can see huge opportunity. So I'm very happy to be here with you today to tell you a little bit about the Canadian success story and to reinforce in all of you that I hope you can go out and talk to your colleagues and your business associates here in Hong Kong and when you're traveling, that Canada is a really exciting place to invest, a place where long-term stability is absolutely the way that we think about the country, a place where we know we can make great opportunities for people not only within our country, but for people from other places. So thank you. I'm looking forward to answering some questions up here on stage. Cheers.